Everybody, welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good, man. I'm just reading. I want to be honest with the listeners. I'm always honest with the listeners. And I haven't done as much homework on this episode we're about to do, but just reading the title makes me excited. Just being here makes me excited. Having our guest back makes me excited. How are you doing?
I'm not excited about the other things as much, but I'm definitely excited about our guest. So much so that I think we should bring him in right now.
Yeah, open the door.
Andrew.
Hey, guys.
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. You know, chilling on a Sunday afternoon, reading the Bible like I always do.
I'm glad you've made that a habit, Andrew. I think anyone who knows you can attest that you needed it.
Yes, I did. I did. I needed to see the light.
And when you're reading it on the couch, what kind of position are you in? Do you lay on the couch or do you sit upright without your back touching the cushion?
Well, you know, sometimes when it gets really exciting, you know, you sit upright, you know, but usually I'm just kind of curled up, you know, sitting, you know, with my on top of my heels, you know, just curled up all cozy like learning about the Lord.
I think that's acceptable given it's the day of rest. Mm-hmm. Something I wanted to ask you guys, how have your diets changed now that we're indoors? Now that restaurants are shut down for the most part.
Adam, I hate to say mine has hardly changed at all. Pretty much all the same. There's just a little bit more of a general attitude of, I bought a bag of Doritos yesterday is what I'm trying to say. Which I haven't done in many, many years.
That actually, that's right in line with how my philosophy has changed. that explains so much.
For us, it's a, like the day is a huge build up to dinner time because we put a lot of thought into like what we're gonna cook. We kind of toil over it, and then when dinner time rolls around, we get excited. One thing that we've done because we live in a kind of a suburban area of LA, and there's so many bars and restaurants near us that like that in a good economy are most likely going to shut down because there's just oversaturation of bars and restaurants. So we've made a huge list and a huge effort to like every Friday and sometimes Saturday, we go to a new restaurant and order in or order from it. So like, that's been a great thing, like all week long, kind of thinking and getting pumped for what small restaurant we're going to go to that's you know, selling food. So that's been fun. Well, sadly, the new pizza place that we went to kind of sucks, but it doesn't suck. It's okay.
But, it's hard to take out now.
It's I think they pre-cook their dough, which is a problem. But anyways, that's kind of how it changed for us. I have been snacking a lot and not exercising much, so that's been rough.
But no, I'm enjoying the extra time to think about what you make for dinner. I've got some pork in the slow cooker right now. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah, smelling good. Ooh.
You know, some days I do eat a lot more than I usually do. But recently I haven't been. I've been eating a lot less because I'm drinking a lot more. So I'm trying to balance out the caloric intake.
A beer is a snack. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's been happening. I'm very worried for some of my favorite vegetarian, vegan restaurants.
Well, are a lot of them still doing takeout?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about the takeout. I mean, The one time I went out in the past 2 weeks, it was to support a restaurant that I love dearly. And it was kind of like, here's our last big chunk of money we're going to spend before we deal with, you know, how this is affecting us financially. Let's make sure we spend a lot of money and tip high and go to this restaurant that we love. Got in there. There was no, like, social distancing effort. There was no pick it up outside. There was no hand sanitizer. There was, like, I just left feeling, like, really bad about having gone at all. And I get it. It's totally different with, like, takeout and just pick up. And I think it's completely reasonable to do. Like, I want to support those businesses, too. But there's part of me that's like, I think the safer thing right now would just be for everything to be shut down. And I understand, especially people who have to make money can't do that. But I feel like the better solution right now is to provide financial support for businesses and say, keep your doors fucking closed for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel weird about it. I feel weird about having, you know, I want to support the business, but I also don't want to support people having to drive around and interact with people. But also, those people have to make money.
Yeah.
Catch.
I think they're following. There's clear guidelines that they gave us, and most of the restaurants are following them. And I mean, as a customer, you can also, it's really on them too. Like, you can everyone just needs to listen to the guidelines, and you can go in, order your food, and then stand outside, and then, you know, when it's ready, they'll, you know, make them bring it out to you, or just stand outside and wait till it's ready and then come, you know, I think that it's I went for a run this morning, and you just follow the guidelines that they give you. And when someone's coming to you on the sidewalk, luckily it's a suburban area, so I can do this, but you just run out to the street a little bit, you know, and stay away from them until they pass. So, you know, I think there's definitely a safe way to do it. And I think it's more on the people than the restaurant, you know, cause it's hard for restaurants to, a lot of them can put the X's on the floor and whatnot, but you still have to rely on stupid people, I guess.
Right. I guess I trust the guidelines less than you, maybe, Daniel.
Yeah.
Because we were also given guidelines a month ago that were nowhere near stringent enough, which is, I feel like that's part of the reason this is going to continue to go on for a long time. But, I don't know. I can't believe anyone right now, so... I agree that you are doing the sensible thing, Daniel. The way my brain operates, though, is please, God, make sure you have nothing to do with this when you find out that someone you care about is sick.
Right.
That's what I'm operating on, is like, just bow out of society completely, and then you can't blame yourself in a little while.
Yeah, no, I'm actually pretty excited. I've been enjoying myself, to be honest. It really alleviates a lot of the guilt I feel for not making plans with people.
Uh-huh.
I've been thriving, actually.
Well, that's a good thing to talk about. Daniel, have you seen any positive benefits from the quarantine?
There's been a long, like, a focus on learning other things. I've been learning... Had a sculpt in Blender. That's been fun. So I can sculpt in 3D. And that's been...
Yeah, that's rad.
That's been something I really want to do, because eventually in years to come, I want to be able to make little miniatures to sell to people. So hopefully this kind of sparks that. I'm also making bongs. That's fun, you know?
Oh, so, hell yeah.
So that's been an exciting thing.
With the 3D printer?
Yeah, 3D printed bongs. You know, it's a lot of research and development that has to happen, but you know, it's I love research and development. I love it really more than actually making something that works well.
Hell yeah.
Solving a problem is more fun sometimes than just having a solved problem.
Oh, 100%.
Something our listeners might not know, something Andrew definitely knows because he's visited us, is that Daniel and I used to live in a house with five other people. So there would be seven in us in a four-bedroom at one time. I've been very grateful through this whole process that I now live in an apartment that affords me a little more room.
Oh, yeah, that's been nice.
it's something it's one of the funniest things to me right now is watching celebrity videos, not for all the weird things the celebrities are doing, but just how much it sticks out whenever you see someone in a mansion recording a video right now.
Yeah. Like, it's like we're all in this together. It's like, no, yeah. You.
The contrast between rich and poor is just so much higher when you realize, oh, you have 18 rooms to run around in, and we're stuck like watching our, you know, our relationship with our son fall apart. Yeah. Because we're trapped in the same building.
I'm glad everyone really got disgusted by that Imagine video they put out. I'm really glad that's kind of like, that's happening. That's fun. Because who would have thought that Gal Gadot could have done something people would have been mad about, but
oh boy, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to say...
I'm sorry, that video really delighted me.
And I feel like it's also like it resulted in John Lennon getting posthumously canceled once again, which, you know, probably about time.
Yeah, not the nicest man.
I do want to do a quick PSA. That I just thought of, actually.
Please do.
I realize it's probably too late, but you never know. Maybe I should just put this is stupid, but they passed the new stimulus bill, and I think it's very important that everyone who is unemployed and underemployed go on and search it out, because it's actually a very good bill for the unemployment section of it. Because in most states, especially here in California, you get your unemployment plus a federal unemployment that raises your weekly income to about the level that most people in a lower middle class would get in a week anyways. So you can actually be saved by this bill. It's not just that chunk of change, but I encourage everyone to please go and educate themselves on the unemployment program right now. Even though it's getting slammed, it's going to save a lot of folk.
Yeah, it could be better, but you know,
take what you can get. Yeah, yeah. Please make sure you're getting the maximum amount possible right now. I think it's yeah, I agree. Because it's a doozy of paperwork, but at least unlike every other time you do a doozy of paperwork, you might get some money back instead of also paying a fee while filling it out.
Well, it's really good for a lot of independent contractors, not all, but quite a few, because it will also pay people retroactively. So, like, if you stopped making money in the beginning of February because of all this, which a lot of people may not have actually because of the delay in the government's response, but if you did, they'll pay you for that too.
Oh, sweet! Well, that's rad. Well, speaking of bureaucracy, boys, here in Exodus 19. We got some of the law starting to be laid down, I do believe. Andrew, you were reading out of the Message?
That's right, the Eugene H. Peterson translation.
Well, I think this week I'm going to read out of the Message.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that's a good choice. So here we are, Exodus 19. I've got it titled in the Message as Mount Sinai. So here we go. 3 months after leaving Egypt, the Israelites entered the wilderness of Sinai. They followed the route up from Rephidim, arrived at the wilderness of Sinai, and set up camp. Israel camped there facing the mountain. As Moses went up to meet God, God called down to him from the mountain, "Speak to the house of Jacob. Tell the people of Israel, you have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you upon eagle's wings, and have brought you to me. If you will listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant out of all peoples, you will be my special treasure. The whole earth is mine to choose from, but you're special, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what I want you to tell the people of Israel. Verse 7. Moses came back and called the elders of Israel together and set before them all these words which God had commanded him. The people were unanimous in their response. Everything God says, we will do. Moses took the people's answer back to God. God said to Moses, get ready. I am about to come to you in a thick cloud. Ooh, God's a vapor. God's fucking blowing stacks.
Doing vape tricks.
I'm about to come to you in a thick cloud so that the people can listen in and trust you completely when I speak with you. Again, Moses reported the people's answer to God. God said to Moses, go to the people. For the next 2 days, get these people ready to meet the holy God. Have them scrub their clothes so that on the third day they will be fully prepared. Because on the third day, God will come down on Mount Sinai and make his presence known to all the people. Post boundaries for the people all around, telling them, warning, do not climb the mountain. Don't even touch its edge. Whoever touches the mountain dies a certain death. And no one is to touch that person. He is to be stoned. That's right, stoned! Or shot with arrows, shot to death. Animal or man, whichever, put to death.
That's
a long blast from the horn will signal it is safe to climb the mountain.
Jesus Christ. Well, that's
serious procedures. Very specific instructions from the Lord.
I mean, God's really establishing himself as God to more than just the Israelites, but to everyone in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something I want to be sure not to skip, is God has kind of been like a regional God and a God of specific people. Now he's kind of making it a sense of, I am a God of everything, and you will be my special people.
And I think you're really onto something here, and I think that's God's trajectory all the way up through JC, right? Like, he's God for more and more and more people.
Yeah.
Something that I found interesting, because I'm still on the King James, or not the King James, the NIV Bible back over here, and I kind of want to explore... After seeing this, I'm going to explore more of this Message Bible. In the NIV, they call Sinai a desert, but for some reason, the Message is calling it a wilderness, which is interesting. I would love to know why they would change it to wilderness and not desert, because those are two very different things in my mind.
Well, they are. I agree with you, but I have heard it described. You know, Jesus spends the 40 days in the desert, or the 40 days in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a common replacement between desert and wilderness. My guess is that the original writing is probably a word closer to wilderness, because all wilderness in the area is desert.
Yeah.
You know, like, would be my guess. It's like, there's not many forests around.
Yeah, around that space.
I'm going to pick up with verse, where was I?
14?
Oh, yes, yeah. Thank you. And it's interesting, the Message, it breaks things up into paragraphs. So this says, verse 14-15.
Mm-hmm.
Moses went down the mountain to the people and prepared them for the holy meeting. They gave their clothes a good scrubbing. Then he addressed the people. Be ready in 3 days. Don't sleep with a woman.
It's the only way to be ready. This is where the boxers got it.
Yeah. They got to store up their vital energies.
I remember the translation I read earlier. It said there shall be no sexual relations or something.
Staying, yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that this creates a clearer picture of what probably happened, which is Moses is only talking to groups of men. Everyone else is, like, doing work. The women and children are working on shit, and the men come listen to Moses.
Yeah.
And stand around. Don't sleep with a woman.
Oh, the in
keep
the,
it in.
King James says, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives," is the instruction. Come not at your wives.
I'm going to use that terminology from now on, and my relationship's probably going to end pretty soon. Because I'm going to use that term over and over again.
Oh, boy.
God's orders.
this is verse 16. On the third day at daybreak, there were loud claps of thunder, flashes of lightning, a thick cloud covering the mountain, and an ear-piercing trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp shuddered in fear. Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God. They stood at attention at the base of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all smoke because God had come down on it. Because God had come down on it as fire. Smoke poured from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain shuddered in huge spasms. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder. Moses spoke and God answered in thunder. God descended to the peak of Mount Sinai. God called Moses up to the peak, and Moses climbed up. This is some Zelda-ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't touch that mountain.
Also, is this just a storm, and Moses is being like, that's God over there. See that lightning? That's how the Lord speaks, you know. Boom, boom.
It seems like a volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Is Mount Sinai in real life a volcano?
I don't know. You want me to Google it?
I'm doing it.
Let's find out.
Because if it was a dormant volcano, that'd be pretty sweet.
That would be dope.
I don't know. The events are described as having transpired at Mount Horeb. Sinai and Horeb are generally considered to refer to the same place. Hmm. So there's just a lot of speculation. I see an article here. Mount Sinai was a volcano in Saudi Arabia, says scientists, blah, blah, blah. That's what I'm saying is there doesn't seem to be any definitive answer. Or
Wikipedia seems pretty sure, you know, Jabal Musa and on Wikipedia, a possible location of the biblical Mount Sinai, considered a holy site in Abrahamic religions. It looks like it's on that peninsula, you know, with the... the Sinai Peninsula, is a real... Yeah, in Egypt, yeah.
I mean, if you'd never seen a volcano before, I would believe God was happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a fancy hospital in Beverly Hills.
Cedar Sinai.
So, God comes down on it as fire. There's thunder. I like God talking in thunder. I brought it up before, but my dad is not a fire and brimstone type of pastor at all. His sermons are very, like, scholarly. And the one time in my entire life I saw him preach a sermon that was a little bit fiery and was a little bit like, you know, you better start helping the poor, motherfuckers. this storm blew in. This massive storm, and just like the entire sanctuary reverberating with these huge lightning and thunder blasts. It was really badass.
Oh, damn.
It's like.
That's convincing. Compelling.
Yeah, it is compelling.
Got rumbling.
So I dig that. So Moses is climbing up. Like he's our boy Link.
Mm-hmm.
This is verse 21. God said to Moses, "Go down. Warn the people not to break through the barricades to get a look at God, lest many of them die. And the priest also warn them to prepare themselves for the holy meeting, lest God break out against them." Moses said to God, But the people can't climb Mount Sinai. You've already warned us, telling us, post boundaries around the mountain. Respect the holy mountain. God told him, go down then and bring Aaron back up with you. But make sure that the priests and the people don't break through and come up to God, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people. He said to them,
colon.
The end.
So, so God is like, I'm a peak powerful thunder, lightning, but don't let the people near me. Don't let them touch the mountain, or it'll mess up everything.
It's very, it is very Wizard of Oz.
Don't come closer.
And so he's getting Aaron. I can only imagine that we are leading up to the Ten Commandments.
I can only imagine. Yeah,
this is the big one.
When that day comes.
This is leading up to the big one.
After having given the last chapter a 1.5, I'm going to give this one a solid, I'm going to give it as a 3.25.
Ooh.
I kind of like this one.
Yeah, this is
a
good one.
We get a lot of God in quotation marks here, and I love when people are speaking directly with God.
Yeah, that's always fun to hear right from the big man. What is he thinking? Also, I feel like you're really, you know, you're... God voice is blossoming.
Yeah, I know, I agree. It's who does it remind me of?
Well, thank you. I'll tell you what I'm basing it on, or what I realized it's in my head from. There's an audio drama called The Secret of Dominion that was broadcast in like 93 or 94, and you can only get it on cassette tapes. And I listened to that a lot as a kid, and I think I sound like the robot on that.
I was thinking it was giving me a little bit of like low energy, quiet Emperor Palpatine. Just sort of like a petty and vindictive kind of fragile old man. Gotta say, I had not watched any Star Wars movies in quite a while. Recently revisited Return of the Jedi and was like, wow, this guy's got it all the way up to 11. I did not pick up on that as a child, how over the top Emperor Palpatine was.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best things about Star Wars.
I agree.
If you like him and don't really give a shit about the franchise, please watch the newest Star Wars movie and just laugh your ass off. It's really great.
No, I could talk some Star Wars, but I should probably go ahead and we should probably rate this chapter though.
Yeah. I'm staying with my 3.25. I'm tempted to go to 3.5.
I was thinking
honestly.
About rounding it up to that exactly.
Well, if you do, I will as well.
What about you?
Because I'm trying to be more honest these days. Trying to be an honest man. You know what? I think a 3.5 is fair. This has been fun. I love the thunder and lightning. I like that imagery of him clacking. I also like the idea that Moses isn't really talking to God. There was just a thunderstorm that ran through one day.
Like, that's
and
him.
He took good advantage of it.
That's the guy. Don't touch the mountain.
we're about to get into the real shit. The shit that really like kind of is affecting our life even today. So.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 is apt.
We've got a consensus here. It's about a 3.5.
Nice hand holding glove.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Andrew, forgive me. Have you been on Reading Heathens before?
I mean, I was on last week, technically. And I've been on the hosted pod.
I knew you were on hosted pod, but I didn't know if you'd done chapters of
the Bible. No, I haven't, but I, you know, I'd be happy to do more. I've always got, you know, I got plenty of thoughts, you know. I read the Bible a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely. You should be on again. And hopefully we'll have some more exciting chapters for you.
And some more exciting guests. It's been fun to hear all the guests, Geneva and Jordy and Haley.
We're working on it.
Yeah, get Haley back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she seems... she's got a real podcast, so...
Yeah, no, I
heard... to ask her on all the time.
Yeah, you should plug that again. Remind me what it's called, and our audience what it's called.
It's In the Wings.
Okay.
Waiting in the Wings, I believe.
Waiting in the Wings is what it's called.
Word.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You're the OG listener, and I'm excited to have you on.
Yeah, it's been about a year since I was on Hosted.
Wow, how does that make you feel, Daniel?
Well, you know what? We've made a lot of progress in that year. Well, you know what? Maybe just in listeners. I was going to say in quality, but I mean, maybe just in loyal listeners.
I thought it was a good episode.
Oh, it was an excellent episode. We may release it as a special again at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a handful of bangers in the old format, and it's fun to release them as a special on this podcast.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Well, thanks to everybody out there listening. A very special thanks to you, Andrew. It was a delight to have you on. It's nice talking to you.
Delight to be on.
Calms me down to talk to good friends during this...
weird time.
Weird-ass time. Yep. Daniel, can you help us get the hell out of here?
Yeah, man. Everybody, send us emails at Hosted Pod. We're part of the Hosted Pod Network, by the way. I always... feel like it needs to be clarified, but the Hosted Pod Network with all of our buddies and pals, and more things coming every day. Email us at hostedpod@gmail.com, Instagrams at hostedpod, and then if you're bored these days, go to twitch.tv/hostedpod and watch all of our silly stuff over there. I made biscuits and gravy yesterday morning.
Whoa.
Live on stream.
I was dead ass asleep when you sent me notification that you were going to do that.
It was fun and tasty, and I love the biscuits and gravy. I might have it for lunch, the leftovers. But yeah, guys, and thanks for listening. Thank you, Andrew.
No problem.
Thank you, Adam, for getting
Andrew,
out of bed.
Where can we find you again, Andrew?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Andrew McLean, McClain. Go to search for Tape Set on SoundCloud. That's Tape period Set SET.
Produced, we stole one of your tracks for the original.
That's
Hosted
right. You used Nauticals as the intro and outro music. Yeah.
Hell yeah, that was badass.
Maybe I can make y'all something a little more biblical sounding for a long term theme. No promises, but.
Well, no promises that we will absolutely accept your song and definitely use it.
Yeah. Oh, I do like that organ music. All the music's been fantastic.
Well, sweet. Everybody, stay safe and healthy out there.
Amen.
Bye bye. We should. Why are we ending the podcast with amen?
I think it's a great idea.
It's a better instinct.
Amen.